verses 5 through 7. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And I'll begin reading in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you for this time we have in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered here. And I ask you this morning, Lord, to use me as I deliver your message. And I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you'd have me to say, and that we leave here today challenged and encouraged and strengthened in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said some time ago, as we can, we will dive into the book of James. Some time ago, we looked at James chapter 1, and we were in verses 1 through 4, and we looked at trials. We looked at patience. We looked at how we go through these trials and how these trials will help us with patience. And this morning, we're going to hone in on wisdom as we continue here in the book of James. After James breaks down patience and trials, he then outlines what we are to do in order to have wisdom. Again, in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, right off the bat, we can go ahead and straighten out one thing, and that is that we all need wisdom. We all need more wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. We can all agree that we struggle on the follow-through of what is in our heads at times. We all know that we lack wisdom much of the time at saying the right thing. Sometimes we just don't say the right thing, and had we more wisdom, we wouldn't have said the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. Perhaps doing the right thing, perhaps not doing the right thing. Wisdom keeps our knowledge in check. Wisdom guides our knowledge, which affects our heart, and it will guide our life. And James is telling us and telling the church here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Two big reasons here. Number one, he's the only one that can give it to you. Right. Spiritual wisdom, God is the only one that can give it to you. Right. Number two, he will give it to you if you ask in faith. And you see, the world cannot give you spiritual wisdom. And even if they could, if they didn't like you, they wouldn't help you. Even some Christians like that. They don't like the person that the church is trying to help, they won't help. They don't like the person that the church is trying to raise money for or send cars to, they won't get involved. I know Christians that are like this. They won't cook anything. There are a lot of Christians like this. But I praise God that when I need wisdom, and it is all the time, that I can go to him and I can ask him for wisdom in faith, nothing wavering, that he'll give it to me. And not hold what I did yesterday that was against him over my head. That's right. I'm thankful that God is the giver of wisdom and nobody else. And when you ask him, this is how he gives it to you. Verse 5. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the who is all men. Anyone in this room that is saved and born again on their way to heaven, if you're unsaved, God won't hear your request for wisdom because you're not his. If you're saved and you've been bought by the blood of Christ and you're on your way to heaven, you can ask for wisdom. And this is how it is given: liberally, with generous and impartial regard, bountifully, freely, largely. You will be given wisdom in large amounts. It is bountiful. It is freely. All you had to do is ask for it, and it is free to you from God. There's a huge market today for counsel. It's on advertisements everywhere, 1-8 whatever, help me. All this stuff out there, help, call for help. You got the psychic counseling. You got all kinds of mess out there, all kinds of garbage out there. Everybody wants counseling. Everybody, and believe it or not, everybody needs counseling. You just need to go to the right place to get it. All you have to do is ask for it. It's free to you from God. He is generous with his wisdom. He's not stingy with it. He wants us to live lives that are byproducts of a life lived according to wisdom. So when we ask him for wisdom, I would have to think that God is ever so excited and ready to give us wisdom, to help us avoid some things. Notice also in our definition, it says impartial regard. Impartial means not favoring one party over another. Then it gives a couple of examples, an impartial judgment or decision, impartial opinion. It don't matter who you are, don't matter what color you are, don't matter how much money you have or don't have, where you live or don't live, what all you have or don't have. If you are saved, remember James is talking to saved folks. If you're saved and you come before God and you ask him for wisdom, it don't matter who you are, he'll give it to you. Next is what God won't do when you come to him for wisdom. The next word, upbraideth, means to reproach, to chide. One commentator says this, does not reproach, rebuke, or treat harshly. He does not coldly repel us if we come and ask what we need, though we do it often and with importunity. The proper meaning of the Greek word is to rail at, reproach, revile, chide. And the object here is probably to place the manner in which God bestows his favors in contrast with what sometimes occurs among men. He does not reproach or chide us for our past conduct, for our foolishness, for our importunity in asking. He permits us to come in the most free manner and meets us with a spirit of entire kindness and with promptness in granting our request. We're not always sure when we ask a favor of a man that we shall not encounter something that will be repulsive or that will mortify us. We are certain, however, when we ask a favor of God, that we shall never be reproached in an unfeeling manner or met with a harsh response. Reproach means to treat with scorn or contempt. Chide means to scold at, to reprove, to utter words in anger. Have you ever went to and asked someone for wisdom? Maybe you had a problem in your life that you were struggling with, and you didn't know who to go to, and you sought wisdom from someone, and you selected a person that you felt that you could get wisdom from, and they belittled you because you were struggling. They perhaps threw some jabs with their words because you were struggling. Perhaps they looked down on you. Perhaps upon this revelation about you, then they thought they were better than you. I can tell you from my own experience that after revealing some past to some spiritual leaders, they did not know how to handle me. They did not know how to deal with me. They did not know how to help me. And I can confirm to you this morning that anyone who, unlike the Apostle Paul, struggles with becoming all things to all people, which means being able to relate to anybody walking on this planet Earth, that they also struggle with seeing the common thread between us and all people, and that is that we are all sinners. We are all as an unclean thing. Our righteousness are as filthy rags, every single one of us. And you see, when we are reminded of who we are, we know that there isn't too much that separates us from the next guy. The only thing is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only difference. So it's nothing that we've done. It is what Christ has done in us. Now, this is not saying that God will look past your sin. We are to seek forgiveness for sin. If you are aware of the sin, seek forgiveness for it. Sometimes we need wisdom to become aware of our sin. But when you go to God, not like you will experience with some people, He will not belittle you. He will not make you feel like the reproach of the earth. Now, sometimes our own guilt makes us feel that way. Some people think if I come to God with my sin, if I confess it to Him, He'll beat me to death. He won't.
That's right.
And we have a church full of people that can testify to that also. And also, He already knows your sin when you walked in this morning. He already knows what it is. And we walked in safely. I hear people say all the time, no, I ain't going up there to that church, roof will collapse. No, it won't. When I walked in, it stayed up. It ain't going nowhere. And as God deals with people, this is how we should deal with people. And this is how I want to deal with people in leadership. And this is the way that I want to lead this church. I want to lead this church God's way. We will not condone sin. Sin will be called out. I will preach against sin. I will lift up high the standard of God and His Word. And as a church, we will set boundaries to keep us from breaking the standard. And sin will not be swept under the rug, and it will be dealt with. But when you come for wisdom over sin, or with a problem in your life, I will love you to the best that I can. I'll minister to you. I'll impart wisdom to you from God without belittling you, because God is that way. For many years, Christians have been scared to death to come not only to their shepherd with a problem, but other Christians within the church with the problem. Now, I ask you this morning, it's a real simple question. If they can't come to their shepherd, if they can't come to their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ over a sin, who are they going to go to? Who do they have? Again, for many years, they've been scared to death to come to their shepherd with a problem, with a sin, and many still are. And I don't want any here to feel that way. Now, if you want wisdom, ask it from God. But know that He gives you people. He's given you a pastor. If you ask God for wisdom, He might send you to me. He might give you a verse. Maybe in your devotions, He'll give you a verse to answer. His Spirit may give you the answer, and you wouldn't need me. But ask God for it. Always, always, always ask God first. I said one time on a Sunday night, one of the things my mom taught me when I would have a difficulty, I had a challenge or something, and I'd come to her for counsel, one of the things that she would ask me is, had I prayed about it? Had I talked to God about it? And that's one of the things that I try to tell people also, because they need to include God. I won't be there every step of the way. I can't be there every step of the way. I wish I could visit everybody that needed visited. I wish I could be there every step of the way. I wish I could, but I can't. So if somebody's relying on me and my strength, they're not going to get too far. So when folks come to me for stuff, one of the questions I like to ask is, what'd God say? What has He said? Because you need His input on it more than mine. Ask God first. He may or may not send you to me. Again, He may give you a verse. Then He used you. And how wonderful is that when it happens? He may use a friend that is wise. He may also send you to me. Ask God for wisdom. Now, how do you ask God for wisdom? Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We are to ask in faith. Faith means belief, the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence.
We can believe this Bible to be true. God is declaring his truth through the human author of this book, James, that we can go to God for wisdom and we can rest on his authority that it will happen. We can know it. We can believe it. And one of the biggest phrases in this definition is without other evidence. This means all else around you that you're seeing is not supporting you in faith. Meaning it don't look good. Everywhere you look, it don't look good. Without other evidence. When the children of Israel had the Red Sea in front of them, the wilderness on both sides, and Pharaoh and his army behind them, it did not look good. But we know how that went. It wasn't looking good for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego either, as they were bound up and thrown into a fiery furnace over not bowing the knee to a false god. But we also know how that went. It wasn't looking good for Daniel when he was thrown into the lions then, but we know how that went. It wasn't looking good for David when a giant named Goliath popped up on his radar, but again, we know how that went. We could go on and on and on and on this morning. But you are to be reminded that our faith is in the authority of God, not in how things look. If you or I or anyone else begins to base our faith on how things look, we will stay weak in the faith for the vast majority of our lives. And remember what is stated in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Also, think about it from a personal standpoint. With those who you might be close with, close friend, close family member, spouse, would you want them doubting your capability to come through for them all the time? No. You'd want to be considered dependable. You'd want to be considered reliable. You'd like to be considered available. Now, unlike all of us at times, God has never given us a reason to doubt his reliability. Sometimes his plan does not mesh with our plan. By the way, this is all the time. Nobody plans on getting sick. You don't write it on your calendar that you want to get sick. We don't plan these things. It happens. God's going to plan things, okay, without asking us how we feel about it. And it's going to happen. It's going to come through in our life. Sometimes his plan don't mess with ours. But it does not change the reliability of God. It doesn't change whether or not he's dependable or not. And by the way, God has sent us things that we need him to get through to remind us that he's reliable and that he's credible and that he's available. And then on the back side of the storm, we can look back and we can say, you know what? Every step of the way, there he was. And you know what that does for our faith? It increases our faith. So without these trials, we'd have weak faith. And when we get weak in the faith, God sends us a storm like he did to the disciples on the Sea of Tiberias. And then after he calmed the storm, he said, oh, ye of little faith. How many times has God calmed the storm that we were going through in our life, and then through seeing how we acted in the trial, the Lord was like, oh, ye of little faith, I'm going to take care of it. And God wishes to be viewed in this likeness. This is his desire. And if any one of us owed this type of faith to anybody, it'd be to God. Nobody has ever treated us better than him. Done more for us than him. Amen. Been there more for us than him. Knew our deepest hurts and pains that we told nobody. And when he made it all work out and made us all feel better, we knew it wasn't nobody but him. Because nobody else knew. God is deserving of this kind of faith. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Next emphasis, the word nothing. Nothing means no part, portion, quantity, or degree. Not one thing, not one area, not one ounce of us should be wavering when we come to God and make our petitions known to Him. Wavering means fluctuating, being in doubt, undetermined. Basically, you're on the fence about whether or not He could do it when you go to Him in prayer. Go before God in a state of brokenness with a sense of surety that you need wisdom. Don't go to God in doubt that you need wisdom. Go to God and say, you know what? When it comes to wisdom, I'm ignorant apart from you. Go to Him with a sense of, I can't do it. You're the only one that can. See, sometimes we go to God for wisdom, but we're on the fence about whether or not we need it or not, because we're still trying to be wise in our own efforts. Many Christians go to God, myself included. They ask for wisdom, but they're not all in on giving it to God. Still trying to find the wisdom within their self instead of seeking God's wisdom wholly and entirely. Nothing wavering. We have to get out of the way. It's not your wisdom that we need, or I need. It's God's wisdom that we need. Also, you don't need to be wavering in God's ability to give you the right answer, and not only the right answer, but His ability to fix it as a whole. For example, we go to God in prayer for wisdom about our country. But I can tell at times how Christians talk, how they feel. They come across as if the world's too far gone. They come across as if this country's too far gone. Don't ask God to heal our land if you're on the fence about His capability of doing it. Because we'll see what happens with that prayer. We do this with all kinds of areas. Don't ask God for wisdom with your health, with your finances, with anything, if you are wavering in the fact that He's able to work it all out. What is to follow will be us. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you think about the waves, if you've ever seen the ocean, they're all over the place. They're at this shoreline one day. They're 1,000 miles away, perhaps at the end of the week. People have dumped things in the ocean on one coastline, and it washed up on another coastline, 1,000 miles away or so. The waves of the sea, notice also they are driven. Driven means urged forward by force, impelled to move, constrained by necessity. When you waver, whatever it is that is causing you to waver is actually driving you. And it will drive you away from church. It'll drive you away from God's word, away from God's people. It is a force. It is driving you. There are people that can, and we can all be guilty of it, that cannot let go of what is driving them. They won't allow the Holy Spirit to drive them. They waver in the area of finances. They waver in the area of job security. They waver in the area of having, who knows, there's times people live day by day, even when it comes to food. You might waver when it comes to that. Anything that you can think of that has you wavering in it, you doubt that God is going to come through in that area is driving you. But when we have faith and we're not wavering, we have stability in Jesus Christ. Look also at the word tossed. Tossed means thrown upward suddenly or with a jerk, made to rise and fall suddenly. Rise and fall suddenly. We're all over the place at times. And by the way, our flesh is all over the place. Our emotions at times are all over the place. And you can know that Christians are in control, or anybody is in control, when their emotions are just all over the place. Just a roller coaster. Mood swings, 5 minutes to the next. Shake hands with them, they're on cloud nine. 20 minutes later, it's all doom and gloom. Or on cloud nine when they get here, leave upset. Or get here upset, leave on cloud nine. If the swings take that long, God has no amount of instability in him at all. If you're resting in him, if your faith is in him, we'll be more stable than we are at times. And this goes for me too. But Christians are not to be unstable. We're to be stable. This world is a wreck. They should be crying all the time. You see it. Crying to laughing. Temper tantrum, back to crying. Then wrath, then back to crying, then laughing, then cloud nine, then crying again. Just talking about it wears us out. Christians aren't to be that unstable. If they are, there's a disconnect between them and the Spirit of God. A lot of people like that, a lot of Christians like this. No stability because of weak faith. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We're like a wave of the sea. Wherever the wind goes, there we go. Tossed around everywhere, here, yonder, and there. And then it sends the nail home in verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, in our mind, we might be like, that's harsh. But it's not. It's not. It's not harsh at all. We could say that man or that woman. And the application here is, as one commentator says, some of us make suppositions about prayer that are wrong. We think just because we pray that God will answer that prayer. No, God answers the prayer of faith. The person who exercises trust in God will be honored for that trust. God states that he liberally gives to those who ask of him. Yet some of us come to him with the idea that he gives to us like a pauper. Where do we get such audacity? If we ask something of God, we should expect to receive something from him. And it says, by the way, no, that's me. By the way, if your expectations are based on what you think you are owed from God, then it's not faith. He don't owe us anything. Now, there's been times where, I mean, we'll all be guilty of this. I've had to tell myself many times, because you go out, you start passing out a bunch of tracts, and you think God owes you some visitors. You go out, you pass out a bunch of tracts. You start thinking that, you know, it's if you're not careful, it'll be in the back of your mind to grow the church. But we pass them out because it's the gospel. And we're spreading the gospel. And God's promised that he'll build his church. No, he didn't promise to build Caesarea Baptist Church. He promised to build his church. His church is spread out all over the world. And by the way, he adds to it daily. Daily, he adds to his church. He ain't promised to put them all here. He hadn't promised to put them all anywhere at any particular location. He ain't promised to put them there. But sometimes we do this. In an area, especially areas in the ministry, I mean, every day I live this ministry. Every day I live this ministry. I'm thinking about it at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, sometimes 11 o'clock at night, sometimes midnight, sometimes 1 or 2 in the morning. If I can't sleep, I'm thinking about this ministry. There is no 40-hour week for me. I remember when I used to could get off work and just say, I'm leaving work at work. I'm not thinking about nothing about work when I get home. And I could do it. I could flip that switch. But there is no switch to flip here. It's just on. The off is broke. But we do things and we expect God to do things. So every day I'm thinking and I say, Lord, lead and guide me as I seek to lead this church, as anyone would desire to grow the church, to see folks come, to see folks get saved and baptized. Lead me in the way to where we can attract people without compromise. Don't want to compromise his word, and not going to.
That's right.
So I need led in a way that would attract people, and God will still be pleased. And I do believe there is a way to do that.
Amen.
But I have to remind myself all the time, God don't owe me anything. I'm the pastor of this church, but he don't owe me nothing. He don't owe me anything. He don't owe any of us anything. Our verse says, For let not that man, again, let not that man or that woman think they shall receive anything of the Lord. And the reason why is because we went to God with doubt in our hearts. We went to him, we asked him for wisdom, and we doubted that he could handle it. We doubted his power over the situation. And by the way, it don't take too much of a situation for us to put our eyes on the situation more than we have on God. And then we're going to God. And in our heart, we're stuttering all the way through it with doubt. Still thinking about the giant problem that is in front of us. And God is saying, you know what? I want you to leave all of that behind you when you come to me. And in complete faith, nothing wavering, I want you to ask me. And by the way, this is a growing problem today in Christianity as the world gets more and more dark, as our trials are increasing at the hands of the wicked, as persecution is increasing on those who stand on the Word of God, doubt is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And if we are to receive anything from God, it'll be because when we go to Him in complete faith. When you go to God about our country in complete faith, nothing wavering, I don't care what you just saw on the news, in complete faith and nothing wavering, God, you can change our country, and this is why I'm coming to you, because you can do it. Not an ounce, not any part of us is wavering in what we've asked Him to do. And I say it's a growing problem again because Christians are more and more consumed with the problems in this world than they are the power of God. Again, what you focus on, that's what's going to drive you. They read more newspapers, watch more TV, watch more news than they are in the Word of God. I'm encouraged by the power of God that is displayed in the lives of people in His Word. Because we serve the same God, He's not changed. The God of David, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of the children of Israel, the God of Moses. He's not changed. He's still the same. If he don't have the power now, he didn't have it then. We might as well throw out all the rest of it. It's not true. But he had the power then, and he's got the power now.
Amen.
He can fix it. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, He can fix it. You can't walk away from time with God and not be reminded of His power. You can't be in fellowship with God and not be reminded of His power. We expose ourselves to the world's victories all the time instead of honing in on God's victories from His Word and honing in on victories that are around us today. And because of that, we live defeated lives. You know, you could think about all the rallies that the liberals are having and all these Christian rock stuff going on today and Christian rap and all that stuff. Yeah, you could get discouraged about all that, but you could also focus in on the good, solid Bible meetings going on everywhere, all over the country, all over the world. You could focus in on that. God is still changing lives. And by the way, you can't believe half the stuff you watch on the media anyway. It's always going to be painted worse than what it is. It's bad already. Yeah, it might not even be true. But if they can get you to think it's true, they can steer you, drive you. You could be driven by it. Few prayers are getting answered because we lack the faith to see it happen. Wisdom is the principal thing. We learned that on Sunday nights, and James tells us how we can have it. But we're going to have to go to God and ask Him in faith, nothing wavering. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We need more of your power. I need your power. Your people here need your power. And we ask you, Lord, for it. We also need your wisdom. You're the only one that can give it to us, and we need it. And we know, Lord, that you'll give it to us because you say it in your word. And we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.